Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live recording on how to stay positive in a negative world was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
I'm going to begin a series, and I'm going to start talking about, this is the title that I've given this, is How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. And this is something the Lord's really been speaking to me, and I think that this is going to be a blessing to you. There's a lot of different names that you could put on this. You could talk about how to stay in faith in the midst of a situation where it's unbelief. There's just a lot of different applications. This will be similar to a teaching that I have that I've entitled The Four Keys to Staying Full of God. I don't know if any of you have ever heard that or not. But that is a teaching that has really been significant in my life. And every time I teach that, that really touches a lot of people. The difference between that is that that's talking about when God has done something special in your life. How do you keep that current? How do you keep it fresh and alive on the inside? What I want to talk about this week is not necessarily something that's personal, but about when, you know, my life is going perfect. Well, that's probably not true to say perfect, but it's going very good. We are really blessed. God is blessing us personally. God is blessing us in the ministry. It is not anything personal, but you know, when you look out here at the world, it just seems like things are getting worse instead of better. And you know what? That has a tendency to discourage you. And what I want to talk about is about not necessarily how to keep something personal in your life, something that God has done to you alive and fresh, but how do you keep yourself positive when it seems like everything around you is failing and things are going bad? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to make this point, but if you haven't noticed that we are living in a negative world, you just hadn't been paying attention. I'm not going to try and remake that point a lot, but there are a lot of negative things happening. There are things that are not going well at all. And I meet people all of the time and minister to people that are discouraged, not because of something personally that's going on in their life, but just, you know, as you see things going on in the world around us, it can affect you. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but there are a number of scriptures that talk about how that our heart is affected by the environment that we live in. And you can see this in a lot of things. When Jesus raised people from the dead, he always sought seclusion. He kicked out all of the unbelievers because the unbelief of other people could even affect Jesus, who was operating in faith 100%. In the sixth chapter of the book of Mark, it talked about he was at his hometown and he could do, not wouldn't do, but could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. He was limited in what he could do, and certainly not limited because of anything personally, but the unbelief of other people around you affect you. And I think too seldom do people recognize the effect that other people and environment have on you. And so there is a ungodly environment today. I mean, we are in many ways a post-Christian nation. I don't take any pleasure in saying that. It grieves me to say it. But you know what? I believe that if, like, the founding fathers of this nation came and saw where we are today and the things that are being done in this nation, that I guarantee you they would be absolutely shocked. They would be absolutely overwhelmed to see where we are. You know, we minister around the world, and just recently, some of you are aware of this, but just recently I taught a series on what I call Christian Philosophy 2. And it dealt with social issues. What is a Christian perspective, and how are you supposed to feel about things? And we played this on our programs over in the UK. And in the UK, their laws are so strict that it's against the law in the UK to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't say that. It's hate speech. And when I was broadcasting on television in the UK, they wouldn't let you say that. You could say that the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but you couldn't state it as a fact. You couldn't say that Christianity was the correct way and that the Muslims are wrong. It's against the law. I said things on my program before about things like, you know, spanking your children. I wasn't actually teaching on child training. I just made a comparison about spanking your children, and they bleep that out as if it was profanity. And just recently, I made a statement about homosexuality and said that it is wrong, and that's considered hate speech. And I also had a statement that abortion is murder, and it's against the law in the UK to say any of these things. And so we got in trouble with some of the government regulation, and because of that, we had to do some special things. And you see these kind of things happening, and you know what? It's discouraging. It's discouraging, not personally, but it's discouraging when you see evil prevail and you see people that are taking the values that we have held dear and things, and it's discouraging. How do you stay positive in a negative situation? Let me just start by using these verses out of Joshua chapter 1. And this is one of the things. I was recently studying Joshua, and the Lord reminded me that back when we first began our ministry, the Lord spoke to me about that we were going to have a large impact and touched a lot of people. But you know, we went for decades and people stayed away from my meetings by the thousands. And I pastored churches and just very, very small groups. And so I had this vision on the inside, and yet on the outside, I couldn't see any of it coming to pass. And it was discouraging. And I was fighting discouragement. And I was actually, my son Joshua back there, I was watching him over Christmas and thinking about when he was just a tiny baby and I was rocking him and fighting this discouragement over all of the things that were going on. And I mean, I was really just trying to stand strong. I was reading this, and the Lord gave me a song, the only song I've ever written. And I just started singing, and this song came out about be strong and of a good courage. And I mean, it was a song from the Lord. It was for me, and it encouraged me and built me up. And when I was reading this recently, it came right here from the book of Joshua. And this is what the Lord spoke to me, and this is what I'm trying to describe this week, is how do you stay strong? This would be the scriptural terminology. How do you stay strong and courageous in the midst of fear and dismay or discouragement? And how do you do that? Here is the Lord speaking to Joshua, and Joshua was taking over from Moses, and that's a hard act to follow. And you know what? There was going to be a lot of people that just instantly compared him to Moses, this guy who did all these miraculous things. How do you fill in the footsteps of somebody who has been like Moses? This was an impossible task. And the Lord spoke to him and he says, Moses is dead. Now you go. And he spoke to him and he says, every place that the sole of your foot touches, I'm going to give to you, just like I told Moses. He says, I will be with you. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just like I spoke to Moses. And let me just read a portion of some of these scriptures. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, he says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. You know, by him emphasizing this, he's saying that if you aren't strong, if you aren't courageous, if you do get discouraged, you are going to stop this from coming to pass. I won't take time to turn over and read this, but in Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Lord was speaking through Moses, and he had given this prophecy that nobody's going to stand before you. Every single place that the sole of your foot touches, you are going to prosper. You're going to defeat all of the enemies. And then he turns around in Deuteronomy 7:17 and he says, but if you say in your heart, these people are mightier than I, how can I dispossess them? And you know what? If you only take that as saying that this is what we say, these nations are mightier than I, how can I dispossess them? Well, then there is no conclusion to that. There is no answer to it. Are you following what I'm saying? Here's what he was saying. If you say in your heart, these nations are mightier than I, then God is saying, how can I dispossess them if you get discouraged, if you begin to start speaking about how impossible the task is? Or in the context of this, if you get dismayed, then how can I fulfill my will through you? You have to stay strong and courageous to see God's will come to pass in your life. The Lord doesn't automatically do things for you. He flows through you. And if you get discouraged or dismayed, you stop the process. You know, a scripture that I use often is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, where it says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think." And I have been in hundreds of churches where I've quoted that verse. And I said, "How many of you believe that?" And people will just shout, "Amen, I believe it." And I say, "That's wrong." I've had pastors stand up before and lead the congregation in, "Yes." And they just stand up and shout, "Yes." And then I say, "That's wrong." That's not what the scripture says. It says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." That means, the word "according to" means in proportion of or to the degree of the power that is working in us. If you become discouraged, you stop the flow of God. God flows through people. You know, this is so simple. I shouldn't even have to say these things, but I have to say it because there's so much confusion today about this. People think God just sovereignly works and that God, if he wanted to, could heal this person, could set this person free. And because we see problems in our world, people just assume that, well, it must be that God wants it to be that way. And they wonder, why did God allow this? God flows through us. And if we are discouraged, we stop the flow of God's power. Not everything that is happening is God's power, God's will. For instance, it makes it very clear in 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it's verse 9, it says, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You can't make it any clearer than that.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to stay positive in a negative world. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1065C for CD or R3209D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RHT23 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to come to one of our Gospel Truth seminars. You know, there's people that listen to me on the radio or television every day, and they think, well, I already know what you're going to say. What's the point in going to one of these meetings? But for one thing, you just get the Word at a different level when it's not broken into little 15-minute segments. It makes a huge difference in the way that the Word impacts you. Plus, we have anywhere from 30 to 40 or 50 of our Bible college students, prayer ministers there, that minister to people. You get prayer and personal ministry, and it is just a dynamic atmosphere. Charlie and Jill LeBlanc do the praise and worship, and you'd be blessed. So make plans to join me at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.